Hi, you're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website, www.lmc.org.au.
So my message tonight is, it's come from a song that I heard a little while ago. And I think it's amazing how we can hear songs a lot of the time and they speak so deeply to us. A repetitive lyric can do so much to us, and they have done. Songs have been big for me in my life when they speak the word of God. And so I encourage you, if you're listening to things in the car or wherever you are, just put on some great Christian worship music, or just with great lyrical content, because allow it to just filter into you. It's funny when you remember a song. Sometimes you can't remember a sermon, but you can remember a song, and I think that's amazing. For me, it works that way anyway. So this message sort of came out of a song. It's called "Do It Again," and we're going to sing it. I'm going to sing it after the message. But it talks about the promises of God, and the promises of God not being broken, unable to be broken for us because of how great His faithfulness is. It's a very encouraging and a faith-building song, and it made me consider what I've seen not only in church but outside of church as well. And as I prayed, I want to talk about the subject tonight of perseverance. Perseverance. It's a hard one to think of sometimes, but one that we really need to consider all the time. Pressing onwards, even though sometimes we don't feel like it. Pressing on. And it's something that's so important to remind ourselves of, because we see it in marriages and relationships. We can see it in work, in our ministry, of whatever that looks like, in study, just in life in general. And it's just too easy sometimes in all of these things. It's too easy to just give up. We see it a lot. It's easy to give up. And depending on your upbringing and the circumstances, you can be conditioned to give up easily. Parenting, it can be very challenging sometimes. I was wondering how to put that, but I think very challenging is the right way to put it, especially when it comes to having children at the supermarket. I used to work at Woolworths and saw firsthand how some parents would be able to, or not be able to, deal with their children at the supermarket. It wasn't a very nice story, but it was like there was a lady that had, you know, the leads? The leads for the children? Like, having a child wandering around the supermarket, like, they actually look really handy. Not that we've had one, but she was obviously, the kid was so pulling on the lead that she said, "No, that's enough," and pulled him. And he just, like, went like the Matrix movie, like, whoosh, backwards, and landed on his back. And then she was like the most, "Oh my gosh, my son, he's fine. The most doting mum ever. But it's hard work. It's very challenging to walk them around the supermarket. And to the point where it's easy for a parent to go, "All right, I give up. Have this chocolate bar, or have this apple, or have this banana, or whatever it is, to just keep my child under control for a little bit." I think, a lot of the time it's "have my phone. Just have my phone and deal with it for a little while and you'll be fine." But unfortunately, the kids see that and they notice whenever the parent is actually giving in a lot of the time. And we live in such a disposable society. I'm sure you would agree that when something breaks, often it's ends up being actually cheaper to go and buy a new one than to get it fixed. So we are very much into that. We just go out and buy a new one. But when you transfer this over to the way we think of those other things, relationships and marriages and ministry and study and life in general, and we're left with the too easy choice, the all too easy choice to just give up. It seems that a lot of the time people aren't prepared to do the hard yards and prepared to do what they need to do and just give up on whatever that is. And if anyone's here and you've been married for many years, you understand that being able to have a marriage for many years is hard work, and you need to put hard work in for it to actually work. So again, my title tonight is this: it's "Don't Quit, Persevere." Don't quit, persevere. Let's do what we do best in church and open up the Word of God. And you should have this scripture bookmarked by now, because it is the one that Pastor Graham's been using as one of his lead scriptures in the Chasing After God series, and which I only just, as I've been preparing this, I only just noticed it this morning. Not that I haven't been listening to the other four Chasing After God messages, they've been great. But I noticed that this morning, Hebrews 12, verses 1 to 3. Let's read along. If you don't have your Bibles with you, you can read it on the screen. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance, some translations say perseverance, the race that is set before us. Verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your own souls. And I read in that, and we're going to use this scripture, but I read in the message as well, and I thought, well, let's read that as well, because I think it unpacks it a little bit differently and can maybe not mean something different, but you can understand it a little different. Do you see what this means? All these pioneers who blazed the way, all these veterans cheering us on, it means we'd better get on with it. Strip down, start running, and never quit. No extra spiritual fat, no parasitic sins. Keep your eyes on Jesus, who both began and finished this race we're in. Study how he did it, because he never lost sight of where he was headed. That exhilarating finish in and with God. He could put up with anything along the way. Cross, shame, whatever. And now he's there in the place of honor, right alongside God. When you find yourselves flagging in your faith, go over that story again, item by item. That long litany of hostility he plowed through, that will shoot adrenaline into your souls. I think that's so cool how that says, and even that last line, exactly right. When we can get fresh revelation of just what Jesus did and what he went through and exampled for us, it just propels us on and forward. Perseverance is talked about a lot in the Bible, and I have some more scriptures that I want to get out here. Galatians 6 verse 9, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. 1 Corinthians 16 verse 13, be on your guard, stand firm in the faith, be courageous, be strong. And 2 Chronicles 15:7, but as for you, be strong and do not give up, for your work will be rewarded. One of my favorite examples and the story that I'd like us to focus on tonight when it comes to perseverance is from the book of Joshua. So again, if you've got your Bibles, open them up to Joshua, Joshua chapter 6. And to set the scene, Moses had died and Joshua had now led the people of Israel into the promised land, the land that God had promised and had set aside for the Israelites to inhabit. And I know sometimes we can read a Bible story and we can let it sometimes go straight over our heads because we've heard it many times. And a story like this, or like Jonah and the whale, or like Noah and his ark, we're very good at translating them into children's Bible stories, children's stories. And I grew up on them, and my kids are growing up on these stories now. But sometimes that makes us lose sight of the fact that this is actual history. This actually happened. And when we think of it in that way, it makes us go, wow, wow, God, what you did in that story was actually absolutely amazing. So Joshua 6, 1 to 5. Now Jericho was securely shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said to Joshua, see, I have given Jericho into your hand, its king and the mighty men of valor. You shall march around the city, all your men of war, you shall go around the city once. You should do this 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. But the 7th day you shall march around the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets. And it shall come to pass, when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, that all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city will fall down flat. And the people shall go up, every man straight in. Every man straight in before him. And so it happened that as they did as God instructed, I mean, if you can just imagine it, if you can just imagine walking around the walls of a building, shouting, and the walls crumble flat in an instant. I think it's quite amazing to think of. And yes, we hear it as a story, but if they put it into a movie, I think, oh, even then we probably wouldn't believe it, would we? Because it's just a movie. But it's so amazing to think about. And I wonder sometimes what some of the heroes in these Bible stories would have been thinking. Think of Joshua, for example, because sometimes God would instruct them in some pretty strange from our point of view, not strange from God's point of view, strange ways in order to see something come to pass. And if you think about Joshua and God saying, all right, this is what I want you to do. Walk around once and then go home, go back to your camp, then come back the next day, another time. Joshua's going, come on, God, just knock it over in the first day. We'll be right. Send us home early. We'll do what we need to do with the city and get home and get on to the next one. But no, God had a plan, and he has a plan in each one. Let's look at it from our own lives as well. And how often sometimes we think, man, God, why do I have to go around this wall 7 times? Why do I then have to do it 7 times again? Why don't you just do it for me on the first time? And we can get stuck in that. So why? Why was it that? Why wasn't it 6 or 5 or 8 or 9? I don't know. Which brings me to our first point regarding perseverance and the promises of God. If you're writing things down, this is the first one and the major one that I want you to remember. That God is always on time. God is always on time. I wonder if you've ever found yourself wondering, God, why isn't your schedule the same as mine? Why is it that we have different schedules here? And you think about the Israelites who may not have had a clue how long they were going to be walking around that wall for. Joshua knew. Joshua had the plans all set out and he knew what was going on. But as one of the plebs, one of the, oh, I don't know if they were plebs, were they? The soldiers, one of the regular infantry soldiers, he would have gotten home after that first day or that second day and gone, what is going on here? How long are we going to be doing this for? 6 days later, we are doing the same thing and we haven't seen anything change. What is going on? And getting increasingly frustrated with it when there seemed to be nothing happening. And sometimes we find ourselves in that position where we feel ready for battle. We are ready to move in to the next thing that God has for us. Ready to take that next step towards the promise that God has. But for some reason, it's taking longer than we think it should. It's taking longer than we expect it. And it's a really hard part, and it comes back to us having full trust in God and his process. And unfortunately for us, sometimes the process can be ongoing. And we don't know where the end is going to come in this process leading to the promise of God. Sometimes I thought about it, we think it feels like we're in a bit of a holding pattern as an aircraft is just circling above. We're just waiting. God, we're waiting. We're waiting. I'm ready, God. I'm ready to step into this. I'm prepared. I'm ready, but I'm just waiting. But God's timing is perfect. God is always on time. I wonder, is there a door in your life that you've been waiting for God to open? And you're standing out in front of it because you think you're ready, but for some reason, it's not opening. We see an example of what we can sometimes do in this situation in Genesis 16, where Abraham had a promise of God that his descendants would be numerous like the stars. But as they got older, Abraham and his wife, how do you say it? Oh, I'm asking the wrong person probably, aren't I? How do you say a Bible name? Sarah, but with the I. You say it the same? Sarai. Abraham and his wife Sarai. Doesn't sound right, does it? Oh well. They were unable to conceive. They were unable to have a child. But God's promise said that you can have a child. Your descendants will be more numerous than the stars. Man, it is hot up here. You guys hot down there? That's good. I've got pants on. It's real hot. Hey? Sorry? Press on, persevere. Yeah, can we do that? That'd be great. Are you going to get this for me? Thanks. I can help you if you want. Oh, you're going to leave it there. Can I preach from here? That's really nice. Sorry, everybody. We've got more lead here. All right. Persevere, you should say. Just see if you get it in the right spot. Yes. No. You can come and preach if you want. Then you can have the fan. It's turning off. All right, just preach. So, back to Abraham and his wife Sarai. Sarai, unable to have a baby. Therefore, seemingly unable to fulfill the promises of God in her life. Promises of God were, you're going to have descendants, you're going to have a multitude of children, yet I can't have a child. How does that work? And so what did they do? In their wisdom, they decided to get Abraham, and Sarai said, hey, here's my maidservant. And Abraham, go do this for us. Go have a child for us. Yeah? Which she did. Hagar fell pregnant for them. She did. Had a child. The boy's name was Ishmael. Ishmael did not inherit the fullness of God's promise for Abraham. Did not have part in that. And is a reminder to us that sometimes when the promises of God, they're there for us, and we think, God, you're taking too long on this. You're taking too long, that we're going to go, we know better, and we can go and do it ourselves because we need to hustle the process up a little bit. I remember a great example, and one of my youth leaders said it to me when I was growing up, about relationships as well. And the question was posed, and at that point, I wasn't in a relationship. I hadn't been in a relationship before. And we were sitting there in life group, and it just hit me. And he said, like, at what point do you decide that you need to go out and do this for God? You need to go and do it because God is not coming through for you. Do you need to wait until you're 30 or wait until you're 40 or wait until you're 50 and then go out and just get in a relationship because it's taking too long? And I was like, wow. Now I want to be trusting in God and in God's timing, because I know that He is going to have the best situation for me. He's going to have the best person for me. And I know what we always get in trouble when we try and do things in our own strength and we try and do them in our own timing and we're not fully reliant on God. So trusting in God's process, it not only enables us to receive the fullness of His promise, but it also allows us to walk in the peace of knowing that He is in control. God, I'm giving this to you and you are in control. But it's easy to doubt ourselves. Did God really say that? Or was I just thinking it? But don't forget, God is always on time. And if He has called you to something, be assured that He is faithful to see it through. Great is His faithfulness. Great is His faithfulness. It's hard sometimes when we don't see our faithfulness, our faithful steps being rewarded in that moment. And we get discouraged because we don't see any progress, which is my second point. Our progress isn't always evident. It's not always evident. And that's just the thing. If you think back to Joshua and the people of Israel, for 6 days, and then for six times round on the seventh day, the Israelites hadn't seen one change to the walls of Jericho. They were still just straight lines and high. Nothing had fallen down. Talk about Groundhog Day. Day after day after the same march, and we haven't seen any progress. And I can imagine the people of Jericho at that point popping their heads over and going, what are you doing? I just thought about you when I was that, because that's what Hamish does. It's just popping their heads over and going, oh man, we're losing it tonight. And just laughing at the fact that they're like, the Israelites, what are you doing? What are you doing? Continuing to do the same thing and nothing is happening. But God knew what He was doing. And He does in your life as well. Even if you think you've been around that wall too many times, God knows what He's doing. I wonder if you've ever had experience in your life where you use a bit of that knowledge or wisdom that you gained in one of those round and round and round and round moments that has come back. One of those moments where you persevered and you can come and use that further on. And I heard a great testimony just this morning about... from one of the guys in church who was working overseas in the Middle East. And not a lot of Christians around. It was a lot of Muslim and Hindu that was there spoken. And he just happened to stumble across and meet a Christian guy who ran a small church out there. And they got talking, and he just gave them a link to our website. And the guy jumped on our website, emailed him or got in contact with our church member a few weeks later and said, it was almost been my lifeline in just being able to draw resource and information from our little old website. And if you're on the inside of the working of that website when it started and came about, and Matt's been in that as well, to put that all together takes perseverance. And it's easy for something small like that to think, it's not going to matter too much if we don't go to the details, if we don't go to the points where we need to go, we don't tick all the boxes, let's just leave them aside because no one's going to look at that part. But when you persevere and you make sure, it's amazing what God can do through those little things that we persevere in and through. And I just thought that was an amazing little testimony. And I love that whatever, the thought of whatever God has got for us in that moment, or even whatever we've gotten ourselves into, it can be a training ground for things that are to come. You're never wasting time when you're living on God's time. You're never wasting time when you're living on God's time, because he will use it to grow you and teach you in ways that are so above whatever we can even fathom. And I know the different things that God has done for me and I've walked through in my life have been training for things to come and training for things in the future as well. And I so have peace in that, and that when you're working on God's time, there's no wasted time. So our progress isn't always evident. Point number three, if you're writing things down, when times are tough, perseverance matters. And I said most, but I didn't think that made sense up there, but it matters so much. When do we ever have to persevere and endure pleasurable experiences? When do we ever have to persevere when it comes to our holidays? Not very often. We don't persevere on holidays, do we? We just enjoy them. Or even when it's evident that God is doing work in our lives. When everything's going well and we're just loving the passion, you know, we're just on fire for God. It's not coming down to perseverance right then. We're just moving on through. So perseverance itself is often associated with hard times, with inevitable struggles and hard times in life. And the way we persevere and decide not to give up, that can sometimes be the key to unlocking the next step in the promise that God has for you. Through those hard times, you say yes and you keep persevering and you see the promises come to pass. Life can be hard sometimes, and we get thrown things that are hard to handle. But I can honestly say, whenever I've made the decision to persevere with my faith or with the promises that God has had for me, I've seen answers to prayer. And not only do we see it in our personal walk, but we see God glorified in a way that we can't even imagine before when we commit to perseverance. And when we know God is faithful, he is faithful, he is faithful. I can't say that enough tonight. God is faithful. He will never leave or forsake us. And we can persevere with God's strength. And point number four, which is my final point tonight, is it's not about the cost. It's not about the cost. And I'll explain that. When we persevere, sometimes it costs us. Whether it be in comfort, or whether it be in convenience, or having to go the long way around, not doing the short track sometimes. But it's when we choose to focus on that cost and not on God is when we decide to give up. We focus on the cost and not on God, and causing us to give up. In preparation, I listened to someone talk about this very point, and she said this, and I want to read it word for word. The enemy loves to speak to the part of us that's afraid that the cost will be greater than the reward. And the moment we believe that it will cost us more than what the reward really is the moment that we bow down to the cost. And the moment we believe that it will cost more than what the reward really is the moment we'll bow down to the cost. And it's true all over our lives. The reward for our perseverance, it's not really here on earth, but it's in heaven, where things are eternal. But our reward can be seen on earth as well as we continue to press on and persevere in the things of God. We're able to have joy as we see others come to know Jesus for the first time, or others grow in their faith. And I know that's so rewarding for myself and Nick, and for us to persevere with leading our youth group and going out of our way when it's sometimes quite inconvenient and takes us away from our family sometimes, because we are so passionate and we get so much joy out of seeing people's lives changed for Him. So whatever you do, be it eat or drink, do it for the glory of God. So how do we persevere through the tough times? It goes back to the scripture that we used at the start in Hebrews 12, verses 1 to 3. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider Him who endured such hostility from sinners against Himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. Immediately, I just thought of the song that we sing, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and His grace.